Welcome to the Playing Injured Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Dillingham, and me and my co-host, Mason Eddie, will be diving past the surface level stories that are filled with adversity and hardship to unfold real life lessons and overcome life's biggest challenges. We believe that facing struggles and pain is out of our control, but how we endure and overcome is something that is. You're listening to Playing Injured.
Another episode of Playing Injured. I am absolutely excited to be here with a friend of mine that we recently connected actually over LinkedIn. I got a little bit of a chance to get to know him over some conversations. James Weber, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You are a fascinating person.
Thank you.
So James Weber, we got a lot to go through with him. He's a pro soccer player, and now is kind of making his move into real estate, is starting to build a portfolio for creating passive income through real estate, also has a job there. But then what's really cool is also has written two books in your 20s.
Yep.
You're 27?
Yep, correct.
So I am pumped to just dig into a little bit of this and just have a conversation. Yep. And I know that no doubt there's going to be some value coming out of this conversation. So tell us a little bit about kind of where you came from and your start into kind of the career of soccer. Mm-hmm. And then we'll kind of dig around from there and then we'll move on to kind of a little bit of your professional journey.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks again for having me on. I'm happy to bring as much value as possible to your listeners. But I started off, I'm born and raised in Wisconsin. Wisconsin boy, cheesehead. The whole soccer concept came to me out of nowhere. My dad was a big football guy. He played collegiately. He wasn't a big soccer guy at all. It was just only football. And then one day when I was 3.5 years old, he got home from work and my mom said, sign James up for soccer and you're going to be his coach. And that's kind of how it all started.
So your football dad,
yeah,
who played college football,
yep,
your soccer coach.
Correct. Yeah. And that was a big change for him. And if you talk to him today, now soccer's his favorite sport. He kind of fell in love with it through, you know, watching me and coaching me. And he coached me all the way up until I was 13 years old and kind of made him more passionate about soccer and kind of taught him more than, I shouldn't say more. He'd be insulted by that. But he taught me a lot in soccer and I kind of taught him too because, he knew nothing coming into it. He, like I said, my mom just said, you're going to coach him and you got to deal with it. And so I started when I was 3.5 years old, grew up playing the game, fell in love right away. And the rest is history, I guess you could say.
One thing I do want to recognize just from your dad's perspective is, you know, athletics is athletics, the mindset,
yep,
right?
Definitely.
The attitude, mm-hmm, the perseverance, mm-hmm, all of that transfers across all sports.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably taught you those values,
mm-hmm,
right? And instilled that in you. And then you had to help him with the actual understanding of the game.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's, like you said, athletics is athletics. And he had that passion with football. I had that passion with soccer. And it kind of helped our relationship and as a, you know, father and son to both be passionate about something. And then he kind of helped me learn more about football. I taught him about soccer and it was good for our relationship too.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so when you were growing up playing soccer in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm,
this isn't like the soccer state.
Not at all.
So how did you climb to the professional level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this isn't even the soccer country. So it was in Wisconsin in USA. And professionally, I mean, I was just so passionate that there wasn't a lot of soccer in the area, but with TV and the internet and everything, I was able to see what it took, you know, these players playing at a professional level, what they were like, how I could get to that level. And it kind of became a school for me, is kind of learning constantly how I could get better, what I could do to make myself better. And it was a path that I just needed to stay on. I was obsessed with wanting to become a professional soccer player. And in Europe, if you're not a professional by the time you're, you know, 20, you're kind of, your chances are kind of low. Mm-hmm. And so I went over, went to high school at Hartford. I set the state career record for most goals in a career. I broke the state or the school single season record as a freshman. So I knew coming in, you know, this is a path. I'm on the right path. I got to keep it along. I got to keep working hard, busting my butt. And I got to college and I went to Xavier, which is a Division I school in Cincinnati. We won the conference. We were doing well, but it wasn't a good atmosphere for me, I think. And school wasn't my thing either. So I was like, you know, I'm 19 years old. I need to take that next step. So I went to Europe. My agent took me there. I had a couple of tryouts in Sweden. I signed with a team and I loved Sweden. I loved the team. I loved everything about it. And so I was right where I wanted to be.
Wow. So super cool. You kind of have a Swedish look to your name.
Oh, yeah.
That's not your heritage at all.
No, I'm German. A lot of Germans.
So I got a lot of questions.
Okay.
So the first one would be, a lot of people are passionate or see it on TV or see the pro thing,
mm-hmm.
but then they don't believe in themselves enough, mm-hmm. or they don't have the perseverance or the faith to get through that. So I'd love to hear, like, what do you think it was from 3.5 to getting over into Europe that you're like, man, I can do this. What mm-hmm. happened? Like, was it a matter of victories and failure? Like, was somebody speaking into you? What was happening?
My having my dad support it the whole way was a big thing for me. He's always been somebody that I wanted to impress, that I wanted to make him proud. And so having him constantly as a coach, he's always there on the sideline, yeah. not just as a parent, but as a coach. And so just having that person there to really push me and really drive me. And on top of that, alongside my dad, I'm a Christian. I follow Christ very strongly. And I felt like that was kind of his plan for me. And one of my, you know, favorite sayings is, be obsessed or be average. And I think that was kind of my whole mentality growing up, was I was just so obsessed, not just with the game, not just with winning, but with following Christ's plan for me. And so that was enough right there just to get me to go on constantly every day, wake up, eat, sleep, and breathe soccer was kind of my mentality. And so every aspect of life, I was chasing this one dream.
So cool. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what's interesting, and this is the point of the podcast, right?
Mm.
You hit some really tough times.
Oh, yeah.
As an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So walk us through some of those and talk about, here you think you have this great vision, this great dream. It's your platform that God's leading you down. And then you hit some of these major, major moments. So walk mm-hmm. us through some of your major.
Sure. Yeah, there was a lot of tough times. A lot of high school kids will go through tough times because that's just puberty for you.
Yeah.
the girl aspect, the school aspect, everything is just a big ball of stress going at that age. But in high school, my first big moment to overcome was my best friend lost his life. He got in a car accident, and we were 16 years old, and that was something that you're not. You would never hope that pain on anybody and especially at a young age. It was just a big tragic moment for me. And, that was a big setback, but at the same time, he was my teammate. He wasn't just a best friend. He was a big soccer player too. And so kind of not having that player on the field with me was hard because it wasn't just, he wasn't there off the field, but he wasn't there on the field. And that was kind of just, adding wood to the fire to kind of make me chase this dream for him.
Here's an interesting thing I want to call out right now. Mm-hmm. You had this big tragedy,
mm-hmm.
but mentally mm-hmm. and emotionally, and maybe because of your faith too, you saw this as a reason mm-hmm. versus a stopping point.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's always something that if you're chasing a big dream, you can't let any setback really hold you back. You kind of need to look at it at a different angle. You can take your time. You can mourn. You can take a step back and you can soak it in for a little bit, but you got to be able to bounce right back. Otherwise, you're not going to reach your full potential. And you kind of, like you said, you have to make it kind of your motivation. Even the tough times, you got to come through. Yeah, you know, I went through a time where I was even suicidal because I was at such a low point, but I kind of used that. Once I got over it, I got my mourning and I was like, you know what? This isn't me. This isn't how I want my life to be. So I had to take that step forward and just use it to help fuel my fire.
So then from that point forward, everything was glorious. And
I wish. No. I've had a few injuries, which is kind of the whole playing injured theme. It's I had a few moments where, you know, I've kind of always been injury prone. I don't know why that's kind of what ended my dad's career was, he tore a bunch of ligaments in his knee and that was it. And back then, you know, the medicine wasn't his best, the surgery wasn't his best. So that kind of ended his career. And so that was another reason why he supported me to play soccer was because, well, you know, you're less prone to get injured. You'll be fine. You know, it's not as contact, involved as football. But sure enough, it wasn't the case. And so a couple times I got injured, in high school, I tore some ligaments in my ankle in a game. And I remember it because at that time I was trying to chase all these records, you know, I couldn't afford to miss any games, I guess, because I wasn't, you know, I was just so driven. And so I remember it was a Tuesday and I was on crutches all day at school and everyone's, you know, helping me carry my books across, you know, through the halls. And we had a game that night, a conference game, and I come out and I got off the bus on my crutches still, and I looked down the field when the team was warming up, and I'm like, you know, I can't, this isn't going to work. I got to be out there with them. So I just taped my ankle probably 3 or 4 times, added, you know, probably a whole roll of tape, took some Advil and was like, you know what, I got to do this. And I ended up scoring a couple goals. We won the game. I think it was 3-0. It was a big conference game too, so it was big for me. And that was my first kind of injury that could have impacted me negatively, but I used it, like, again, to fuel my fire and push me even more.
Wow. Yeah. So I would say, I have no idea, and I have no right to say this other than I'm going to say it because it's my podcast. I would say that's when you went pro. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think there's so many people that would just kind of just sit on it, you know, say, man, even if I did play, I wouldn't be able to play. I wouldn't be able to help. Mm. You know, this is it. I'm done. And I, you know, I even did that in my career at moments where I kind of just, I would say that's a pro mentality. Like mm-hmm. that is somebody that's going to make it big. And then the other comment I want to make is, you know, my dad played Division I football for Auburn.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a false mindset, right? Like, oh, you're not going to get nearly as injured playing soccer right. as you are football. Like, it's not right. nearly as physical. And then same as your dad, like, mm-hmm. he started to appreciate the game, especially as I got into the college level play. And he's mm-hmm. like, holy smokes, like, mm-hmm. this is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, wow, what a story there. And just kind of working through that. So then you came out of that game and was your ankle torn apart?
Oh, it was rough. Yeah, it was pretty swollen. And that was my first big, I guess, injury with dealing with the ankle. Even now, I think rushing it back then, I still have issues with my ankle. And I still look back to that day and be like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have played then. But but it was the same. And then another story I have on the playing injured kind of whole plot here is that we when I first went pro, it was my second year of pro.
How old were you?
I was 19 when I signed my first contract, and that was a big thing. That was, you know, probably the biggest moment of my life is signing that first contract, because you're there. It's like you're watching yourself sign that contract. It's like it's finally happening. You know, this whole 19 years I've been working my butt off to get to this one moment. So that was very cool. My second year, it was the second last game of the year, and it was just felt like a normal game. You know, we were battling relegation. So for those of you who don't know soccer, you know, the top three of the teams in the league go down to the next league down, and then the top three get promoted to the higher league. And so we were, you know, fourth to the bottom. So we were struggling, trying to avoid relegation. And second to last game, I got someone, you know, came up, shouldered me, and I just stepped wrong, and I heard a pop. And at that time, I didn't really know what was going on, and I just knew something wasn't right. And so I got up, I went up to the side, and I tried to jog, and just started burning. And so I subbed me off. I didn't play that game, and I went to the trainer during the week, and he took a look at it, and he didn't speak any English, and so he kind of played with my knee a little bit, and he looks at me, he says, "Kaput." He goes, "Kaput." I'm like, "What is that? What do you mean, kaput? Like, we have one huge game left. What do you mean, kaput, right now?" And so I kind of interpreted it as, you know what, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm just gonna.
This is perfect. That is such a freaking perfect situation.
And so we put a big brace on it, which I felt was unnecessary. But you kind of take your ACL for granted, because if you've ever torn your ACL, you know there's no stability whatsoever. You can't even. You know, you can go straight, maybe not at a fast pace, but when it's side to side, you can't do that at all, because it just gives out. So I played that last game with just a huge brace, and as like I said, we needed 1 point. We needed to tie the game to avoid relegation. And I actually went out. I was grimacing the whole time in pain, just trying to, you know, biting my lip, trying to just get through it. And I actually scored a couple goals, and we tied 3-3 and avoided relegation. And that was a huge moment for me. And then I went home, got an MRI, and realized I had torn my ACL. And then that's when the doctor's like, yeah, you had no right to be playing that game. You should not have been doing that. But that just led to another big recovery road for me that I had to overcome. So,
holy smokes, James. Yeah. I mean, again, like, the pro mindset is just so much different than, you know, the average athlete that's out there, where it's like, man, I will literally play through anything. And fortunately for you, you kind of had a doctor or a trainer who kind of used as a, like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, even though you probably in your heart were like, yeah, it's not right.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you're going to use this. And then you made a comment when we were talking earlier, just about like adrenaline kicking in mm-hmm. these moments.
Yeah. Yeah. And as an athlete, that's a big thing, especially in the big games, you know, last game of the season when we needed to have a result, that's when I feel like adrenaline and like, you can't go against that. It just, adrenaline kicks in and it takes your whole body over, and you kind of feel no pain at that point.
Yeah. So you came out of this one then. So mm-hmm. ACL, you recovered from that, and then what?
So they say ACL recovery is about 9 to 12 months. And I was a 20-year-old, just wanted to get back on the field. So I kind of rushed it back. And I came back. I played my off season just to keep in shape. I played actually back here with the Milwaukee Wave. A lot of people may be familiar with them in the area. It's an indoor professional team that plays through the winter. And so I came back right after, or I went through a whole 9 months, got back the first game or the first couple practices of preseason with the Milwaukee Wave. And like I said, I kind of rushed it back. I didn't, you know, should have listened a little better to the doctors. And second practice in, I did the same thing, tore my ACL. And this time it wasn't, you know, there was no contact or anything. It was just, I was turning, it popped, and I knew because I had experienced that pain before, I was like, well, there it goes. Here comes another 9 to 12 months that I need to just recover from this. And that's when it was another big hit for me, because I knew as a young person, you don't have the patience. You just want to be doing what you were meant to do. You don't want to take time off or do anything. And in that moment, I remember I went to the locker room and I cried for a solid, you know, 2 or 3 hours, just because I knew what was coming, and, you know, another hard, difficult, long process that I had to go through. And it was another 9 to 12 months, and I knew that I didn't want to do that at all. And yeah. So that was tough.
You know, and just to add, to lighten it up a little bit, this time you didn't have an excuse to not listen to the doctor.
Right, like, exactly.
You had everything.
Exactly,
you,
yeah.
You should have been listening. But yeah, no, I can totally empathize and appreciate that. And I think anybody that has gone high caliber in anything that kind of gets stripped away from them mm-hmm. as a function of an injury, or emotionally or whatever, or they lose their job and they've been working their guts out. Like, I think all of us, just like when you lost your friend, like, there's that mourning period, that mm-hmm. front, that you probably went sad to mad, angry.
Right.
So you're playing with the Milwaukee Wave, man. That's pretty special. Like, that is a big team here in mm-hmm. Milwaukee. And then what?
After I tore my ACL a second time, I knew at that point I debated, you know, if I ever wanted to go back to the game again. I had a hard time. My faith was tested. And that's, you know, that I can't even explain how hard that was for me. But after that, I did overcome it. That moment was when I wanted to have a bigger impact on the world overall. And that's when I started to write. So as we were kind of talking before, I published a book, A Soccer Ball and Some Faith. That was my first book. It's kind of my memoir or autobiography about that whole path, all my tests and struggles all the way up until that point. And yet, even after all that, why I still felt like Christ had a big point for me to be here. He wanted me to have a bigger impact, you know, that my path didn't end there just because, you know, I got injured a couple times, because that's a very mute point in a bigger aspect in a bigger world. And so that kind of pushed me to write that book so that I could have an impact on others, to help others realize that, you know, I went through all this struggle, I've been through all this, and if I can overcome it, you know, you guys can overcome stuff too. And so that's when I started writing, and that helped me too. That helped me through it, just writing about it and looking back on it all and soaking it all in.
So true. So I'm going to hit on a couple things here. So we've probably, I don't know, we've had two or three people, and I've been through a similar journey myself, talking about just some really getting out of athletics. And one of the best things that we talk about and comes up regularly is actually journaling. Mm-hmm. And just writing down your emotions, your feelings, yeah, and all that. So I would say that you were probably in a moment of that depression phase again, because it was a tragedy, yeah, in a way, right? In, mm-hmm, a different way, a different context. But then what I appreciate about you, James, so much is just like finding the message in the mess, mm-hmm, in just the disaster, mm-hmm, right? In the, like, I'm at my lowest point. But in your lowest point, it's like they say, like, the greater, the harder the climb, the better the view, the greater the view.
Right.
And that you just knew God wasn't done with you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more you need to do. And so you start writing. And has writing always been something you've been into? Or?
No, not at all. Actually, like I said, school was kind of not my thing. Yeah. It's funny looking back now, because at that point I was young. I wasn't the smartest. I feel like school was just something that I did because my parents told me to. And now looking back, I mean, I have a couple of books published. I have my MBA, you know, I've done school for now 6+ years. And so I was never into writing. I hated it actually in school. But when you find something that you're passionate about, then I feel like writing about it is kind of another hobby that you enjoy because you've experienced it. And so that's kind of the other book too that I wrote, is, The Teenager's Guide to Becoming a Professional Soccer Player, because, again, I'm so passionate about soccer, and at the same time, so passionate about helping others and bringing value to others, that I kind of putting that into one and writing to others and giving them this option to read this and understand what it takes to get to that next level. It was a big step for me to write that. And I was passionate about that too.
So cool. You know, I think the big thing I'm taking away as I'm learning from you, James, is, our biggest struggles and our biggest pains and the things that junk we have to go through is the tools that God gives us to help others. Mm-hmm. These are the tools that we can now use. If you didn't go through anything and it was like, yeah, I've just been a professional, haven't had any challenges, it's been a smooth journey, it's like, how much impact are you going to have? Nobody's, right, going to want to listen to you. They're already turning off the podcast if that's like,
right,
like, this is stupid, right? Yeah. But it's that journey that you've been through, and then figuring out how to get that out to the world is really neat. So I got to know now, so you went back to school then, or what was that journey? Because you were at Xavier, mm-hmm, then you went pro, mm-hmm, and now you got your MBA. So,
right. So that process was an interesting one. So I support pretty much taking all of your time and just taking advantage of every second of it, you know, not wasting any time. And so when I was in Europe playing, we had two-a-days, we would practice for a couple hours in the morning, practice for a couple hours at night, but yet there was this all this time, and I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I don't just want to sit and, you know, watch TV or something. So I was like, you know what? My mom always wanted me to graduate college, so I'm going to do that for her. I'm going to go and with the technology nowadays, you can do a lot of stuff online. So through UWM here in Milwaukee, they have an online program. I got my bachelor's in finance all online. And then there's a school down in Louisiana, LSU, they have one of the top online programs for your MBA. And so I did that whole process, 2 years of doing that all in my free time when I was playing pro soccer. So I was a busy man at that time, because full-time school and full-time soccer player was tough. But I don't like wasting my time. So I felt like I needed to do it.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people do you think on your team are in school when you're playing pro?
Oh, none of them probably. Yeah. A lot of the guys out there, they just, again, it's a mentality. Some guys are just blessed with the talent to go pro. A lot of them also don't. Once they get there, they kind of treat it, you know, just as one big party. You know, they have all this money, all the fame, you know, all the girls, whatever. I had that mentality for a little bit. I let that affect me negatively. But once I got over that, I knew, you know, I needed to live my life properly and live it, you know, live it for God how He would want me to. And so I just wanted to gain as much knowledge. Still to this day, I'm the same way. I always want to be soaking in knowledge anywhere possible from every angle.
Wow. You know, I think that's just a really interesting paradigm shift as to, you know, I think a lot of athletes really pigeonhole themselves because the reality is there's not a single pro athlete out there that's going to keep playing the sport the rest of their life.
Right.
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 There always is an end.
Mm-hmm.
There's an end, and no athlete wants to admit it, wants to believe it, is too naive to think about it or whatever. But you kind of said, well, the reality is I know the end. I don't know when it's going to come from an athletic standpoint. So now what can I do? And then to go out there and, man, go to school, get your MBA. Amazing. And what a great, great way for you to now impact the teenage, you know, people who are wanting to go pro or wanting to play soccer or sport at a high level. And then to really walk them through that journey of, hey, you still got to be thinking about what happens when I'm done.
Right.
Which most people don't think about. Mm-hmm. So now you got your MBA. Okay. So then now what's happening? Where you at now?
So that kind of gets me to where I am today. Because I had that mentality after my second ACL where I needed to start looking at life where, all right, I can't play this sport forever. No matter how bad I want to, I'm going to get too old at one point. I'm going to get too injured or something's going to happen. You know, there's going to be an end. And so I'm grateful that that day hasn't come yet. I'm still playing indoor professionally for Brew City Legends here in Milwaukee. And that's kind of, I'm going to hold on for as long as I can. I'm hoping there's another, you know, 5 or 6 years left. And so that'll always be there. Either soccer is always going to be there either as a player, as a coach. Right now I'm the director of coaching for a local soccer team too in Germantown, Wisconsin. Because I want to help players still, you know, till I die, I want to be helping people take their game to the next level. So I've been taking on that, helping coaches improve, helping players improve at the club, because I'll always want to be a coach. Even when I have kids down the road, I'm going to want to coach them, even if it's not soccer, even if it's, you know, any sport, I want to be involved with there, because I knew how big of an impact, even though my dad knew nothing about soccer, the impact that it had on me to have him, you know, help me, help guide me along that path. Even if, you know, my kids sign up for gymnastics or, you know, baseball, I'm going to study the sport so I can help them grow. So I'll always be involved with sports. And then now I'm big into real estate. I have the finance background, which kind of led me to real estate to get that passive income, to learn about how the economy works, how values of houses work. So I work for a real estate developer downtown in Milwaukee. And I also do my own thing, kind of a side gig right now, investing in single family homes and kind of building my own portfolio too.
Great. So how has athletics and that grind of going through struggle and pain, how are you thinking about that as you start to build your portfolio of passive income and chase down what I would call financial freedom so that you can then coach because you're passionate about it and give back? And because what I hear from you, James, is like, you don't want to build passive income because you want to become a millionaire. You want to build passive income so that you can really do what God's brought you here to do, which
sure.
is make an impact through soccer and whatever, right?
Whatever sure,
else
yeah.
he has in store for you, books and writing and whatever. But how are you applying that whole journey from 19 until, you know, you're 27,
Seven, yeah.
until 27 of athletics that you're still in, really, which is really cool. It's crazy, man. Just keep going. We'll keep cheering you on. How are you applying that into creating passive income or your job and work in real estate?
Sure. And there's a lot of overlap with sports and into the business world, I could say. I mean, I just a few things there. The biggest thing, well, I'll get into the biggest thing, but to start small, I say that, first of all, showing up on time. I mean, when I was an athlete, if you were late to practice, you know, it's a few hundred or a few thousand dollar fine that you're going to get for being late to practice.
They would just charge you.
Yeah, they'd fine. I mean, you're their employer. They can fine you for things like that. You're supposed to show up on time. So that was one thing I learned playing soccer, that you got to be there on time, you know, otherwise you're going to get the consequences. Another thing, is one, as an athletic, you need to be coachable, and you kind of, as an athlete on the field, you're looking for which players have been doing it for a while, which coaches, you know, have been doing it for a long time that you can learn for and kind of use as a, or learn from and kind of use as a mentor going forward. And so that's the same in the business world. You kind of, whether you're an entrepreneur or if you're, you know, management or any aspect, really, if you're passionate about it, you're going to learn from somebody higher up who's been doing it for 10 plus years, who knows how to do it, how to be successful. You're going to kind of be coachable as an employee. And I think the final thing as an athlete is just the need to win. and just always doing whatever it takes at all costs just to win. And that's why you see a lot of athletes, from my experience, they go into, you know, entrepreneurship or sales, because you don't rely as much on other people. You know that if you have the drive and if you do it yourself, you're going to reach your fullest potential. And so just that mentality, that winning mentality, is something that you really learn as an athlete, because that's your job at the end of the day, is to win games and to win championships. And so taking that into the business world is, it's a different angle at it, but still you're trying to, you know, make money. You're still trying to reach your goals, hit your goals at the end of the month. And it's just always pushing yourself at all costs, you know, whether it's losing sleep, you know, you put things on the line just to become successful at what you do.
That is awesome. That is so true. You know, I think you're just a really big testament of an A player, a go-getter, or somebody that really has an opportunity to achieve a lot in life, but you just will not settle for a B game. You won't stay in a B game. You're always going to be kind of trying to push yourself, which is really amazing. Well, I appreciate it, man. This was a great discussion. There's a lot that came out of this for sure. Couple things as we wrap up. Number one, where can we find your books?
Sure. Amazon, Barnes and Noble. Again, it's A Soccer Ball and Some Faith. It's my memoir. It's kind of telling my story. If you need some motivation, some uplifting, it's there. And then for all the soccer players that are people with kids that play soccer, A Teenager's Guide to Becoming a Professional Soccer Player. It's got all the information you need to kind of, if you listen to it, you're going to be successful in it. I promise you, it took me a long time to kind of not just research my own game, but research other people's games and their abilities to see what took them to the next level. And so that's both Amazon, both Barnes and Noble, they're available for you.
Awesome. And then lastly, and probably most importantly, how does somebody get in touch with you if they're relating to this and they just want to dig more and maybe there's some things that overlap in their life that they want to talk to you about?
Sure. LinkedIn. I'm a big LinkedIn guy now. I know it's up and coming, so I've kind of shifted everything towards that. I mean, so just search me on there, James G. Weber. You can find me through Mason's LinkedIn as well. I guess Instagram, if you're into that. I don't post much, but you can connect with me there. Message me at the James Weber is my tag. So just find me there. But yeah, that's the best. I'd say LinkedIn is the best. Just message me there. Ask me any questions you guys want, and I'll reach out to you as well. So
fantastic, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on, taking some time out of your day. Man, I just am so pumped for this to get out to the world and for people to hear this. And I can't wait for so many more episodes that are coming down the line. I think James here today really set a great precedent for what it means to play interdict.
Thanks for listening to the show. Our brand design and strategy is by Tessa at 5footstudio.com. You can also find her on Instagram at 5footstudio. Go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And please give us feedback. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts. And most importantly, keep playing injured.